If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Let's get down.
Kaya Biz.
Let's get down to business.
On the street.
On the air.
On the air.
Let's get down to business indeed. That's one of my favorite liners that we have here on the show. Let's get down to business. Yep. And business is tough, all right. If you've been monitoring the local headlines in South Africa and even abroad, one would be very well aware that it's influenced by a myriad of factors, whether it's the macroeconomic performance, whether it's the financial standing of the company, leadership changes, tariffs, imports, competitive environment. All of these do lead to ongoing concerns. And tonight we're zooming into a business which is critical to South Africa, not only in terms of its manufacturing capacity, but the socio-economic contribution it makes to our country. ArcelorMittal, well known as South Africa's long-standing steel business in South Africa, has had a multiplier effect on our economy for years, not only helping the growth and development of infrastructure through the production of their steel, but also contributing to jobs, more than 3,500 jobs, which recently have come to the fore that they could face closures and losses on the back of ArcelorMittal struggling as a business and entity. Now, this has been for years on end where the entity itself has found itself in a very competitive dynamic, facing cheaper Chinese steel imports coming into South Africa, and beyond that, its financial standing also not being very flexible in order to be competitive in the local environment. So, we're taking a look at the potential closure of ArcelorMittal. Yesterday it was reported that the IDC, as one of its shareholders, is looking to save the business, but we do need to contextualize this beyond the balance sheet. What does it mean for South Africa, our steel industry, and our people? We join on the line by two guests, but we'll start off by really contextualizing the steel environment in South Africa. Elias Monage, President of the Steel and Engineering Industries Federation of South Africa, SIFSA, joins us now to add some context regarding the steel industry in the country. Ntate Monage, welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
No, thanks for having me on your platform.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to this conversation because the truth is that the ArcelorMittal story should not be viewed at from a surface level point of view. This is really the history of a long-standing business that has contributed significantly to South Africa's economy. Let's just talk about, you know, where the shift initially started with regard to the concerns in the industry, especially when it comes to cheaper Chinese imports.
I think maybe the starting point should not be the Chinese imports, mm-hmm. because that becomes a cheaper way of addressing the key fundamental problem for the country, because we'll be basically just hiding on the cheap Chinese imports, whereas we need then to look at the key fundamental issues around what I call it the steel policy,
mm-hmm.
because everything starts with the policy and the implementation. I'm raising that point is because question of imports, they are then governed by certain legislation or regulation. But hence I'm saying the starting point should be we don't have what I call an integrated policy for the steel industry in this country, because it starts from the beneficiation from iron ore to the conversion from iron to steel.
Gotcha.
And the different applications thereof. And I'm saying, as a country, we don't have an industrial policy that deals with iron ore in terms of beneficiation. And the second part of the problem is that when ISCO was still ISCO state-owned,
mm-hmm.
the 26% of iron ore for beneficiation was given to ISCO, so that it then uses the 26% for beneficiation for local consumption.
Is that no longer the case with ArcelorMittal?
No, then fast forward, when ISCO was then commercialized and bought by Anglo to buy Kumba,
yes,
they then consolidated the iron ore, the rights, the mineral rights, and therefore Metal didn't have 26% that historically it used then to reside in the entity. It then means, again, practically, the local industry cannot then get steel at a at a differentiated price, not at the London Stock Exchange price.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the second part of the argument or the issue that we need then to understand. The third part of the problem is that, remember, iron ore comes from mining, and in which case it comes from mining, it needs then to be transported from Northern Cape to either Newcastle or Vereeniging.
Mm-hmm.
And once it then hits there, it's where the conversion then takes place. Now, the logistics of the movement from the mine,
yes,
to either Newcastle or Vereeniging is at the back of Transnet logistics,
mm-hmm,
moving that. That's the third part. Now, when you then have an entity that is not working efficiently so and optimally in terms of the allocation of wagons and the locos, it then impact on your capacity then to convert, to beneficiate iron ore to steel, because we have a problem in terms of the logistics in the form of freight from Transnet. Now, the fourth part of the problem that you then realize is that when you convert iron ore to steel, you need lots of electricity.
Yes.
Because we are then using what is called blast furnace.
Mm-hmm.
It is not an electrical furnace. They are not the same. So I don't want to use engineering and technical language. So a blast furnace then consume lots of electricity. That means both Newcastle and Van der Bijl or Vereeniging, you need then to have uninterrupted energy supply, so that when you then convert the iron into steel, you don't have any problems in terms of energy efficiency.
Got you.
Now, given all these issues over the years, because we don't have an industrial policy that is integrated, the IDC, which is state-owned and falls under DTIC, Department of Trade and Industry, where they're supposed then to deal with policy configuration, policy alignment, policy coherency, coordination, and complementarity. They then proceeded in finding the smaller mills that ordinarily, if a person doesn't understand, you would mm-hmm. then think that, let me create competition by funding the small mills, but technically they're not competing because
they don't have
the
capacity.
Product is not the same. The product is not
okay.
The same. The production process is not the same. The quality is not the same. The application of the product that come from the two entities, they're not the same. Now, that's where, again, our problem then starts. Because if, for example, you build a bridge, you build a building, you build a dam, you cannot use a steel that comes from electric furnace. You need then to use steel that comes from a blast furnace. So that's the difference. And as a result of that, hence you then, in the main, you have buildings that they collapse. You have buildings that they collapse. You have mine shafts that they collapse.
Got
because you
it
need
compromises
them to trace
the integrity.
And track. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need them to trace and track. Where did they procure? Where is the source of that material? So this is a complicated issue that is not that simple as people they think. Now, again, fast forward,
mm-hmm.
because these are multifaceted problems that have accumulated over the years. One, we didn't have an integrated steel policy that take on board the beneficiation of steel. It didn't take into account what is called import parity pricing in terms of getting a steel landed here cheaper than us getting from this thing. These are all policy methods that we're supposed then to look at. Now, again, when Metal said they're going to close shop last year, and they then went back and forth engaging both the Department of Trade and Industry and even the presidency to say, can we then find a solution in addressing these matters?
Mm-hmm.
And to our surprise is that there were a number of issues that on face value, they were like agreed between government and Metal. And only then to realize that There was nothing forthcoming from government. And that's the reason why Metal last year, December, they then make a call to say, if nothing is forthcoming, come January 2025, they're going to mothball the two operations.
Yes.
Now, the socio-economic impact is immense because it's going to be a devastating one. You might then recall that 2 years ago, when Highveld Steel closed shop in Emalahleni, in the old Vet Bank, the entire town became a ghost town.
Yes.
Now, and we're then saying, are we now facing, or are we going to face the similar situation with Newcastle? Are we going to face the similar situation with part of Van? We're then saying, as an industry, can we then find a solution that can, one way or another, then allow the continuation and the sustainability of the two operations so that we, as a country, then continue to get the flat products, the steel products, because if we're not going to get steel products in the country, it then means we are going to be flooded by the imports from China.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because none of the existing steel mills, as things stand today, they can then produce the same steel that comes from Metal, both in Newcastle and Vereeniging.
Ntate Monaga, I'd like to jump in there because I love the picture that you've painted, because it shows us the journey, but also the multi-pronged concerns that have actually led us to where we are now. And as you say, it's a very complex picture and a complex circumstance to manage. But are there solutions? You know, yesterday's papers were reporting that the IDC is looking to step in as a part shareholder to help resuscitate the organization. But as a representative of the steel industry, are there solutions to keep
there are solutions. I think part of the problem is that both IDC and TTIC, they are conflicted in my book. And I'm saying the conflict arises as a result of IDC, they funded smaller mills at a value of 14 billion rand to technically then compete with Metal. Despite the fact that technically they cannot then compete because the products that generates from the two processes are not the same, both in quality, in price, and even in terms of the employment of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the skill sets and the skill required is not the same.
So on these solutions that you mentioned, it's not just the IDC. Are they to ensure the sustainability here?
Yes. We need them to have eight discussions with all the role players in one room. We need Transnet to be in the room. You need Eskom to be in the room. You need government. When I'm saying government, both the Department of Mineral Resources to be in the room, because we need them to talk about the mineral rights. We need DTIC to be in the room. We need ITEC to be in the room so that we then talk about the primary steel producers in this country is Metal. And equally so, we need them to have what we call the downstream. The downstream are the companies pure and get products from Metal for various applications, so that we are out of various processes. But the starting point is then to have a meeting with all the role players. The secondary or the primary steel producers, it then comes the second phase. But the first phase, we need government, departments, Department of Mineral Resources, Energy, Eskom, Transnet, which is the Minister of Transport.
Why haven't they made time for this meeting? What's led to the delays?
I guess people, they don't see the urgency of issues at hand. Hmm. That's the first thing. Secondly, I mean, we arrange meetings as an industry with various ministers, and they were not available to the extent that we even arranged a meeting with the president or the presidency with the intention of addressing and dealing with these issues. So it then shows you the extent in which we have raised issues, the extent in which we are willing then to salvage the situation as a private sector, because we understand clearly that we are sitting with more than 40% unemployed in this country, and we are not going then to add more into the unemployed category in those areas. And I mean, if we then talk about Newcastle, There is no Newcastle without Methane.
Yeah.
So Newcastle is Methane. And if you want then to collapse the entire KZN, you then close Newcastle, it then becomes a major problem, not only economically, politically, socially, and everything. And we are then saying, can we find a solution? The second part of the whole thing, remember, Newcastle, part of Vaal,
mm-hmm.
it cut across three provinces.
Yes.
It's KZN, Gauteng, and Free State. And part of Newcastle, it includes even Mpumalanga. Technically, there are four provinces that were affected into this thing.
Yeah.
That's so we are then saying, can we find a solution to this thing? And I'm saying we're making a clear, we've made a clarion call to government to say, can we do these things?
100%. Tate Monage, really appreciate your time this evening and the detail that you've added to this conversation. And you're quite right, the meeting just needs to happen. Conversations need to happen, and it's an urgent matter. So hopefully we do see the right stakeholders at the table. Again, thank you for your time this evening. So you touched on Newcastle. We'll tell you what, on the other side of this ad break, we will be speaking to the president of the Newcastle Business Chamber to give us further clarity on how this impacts this important city and town in the province of KZN. Tate Monage.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
That's Elias Monage, president of the Steel and Engineering Industry Federation of South Africa, Southern Africa, SIFSA.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.